presence of God. Oh. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for his presence? He's just so good. Oh, my Lord. Amen. God's given me a word to deliver. And before I get into it, I want to say this. It's been on my heart. I don't like rituals. I don't like routines. I like getting out of the box with things. And I didn't start the 21-day Daniel fast at the beginning of the year. And I was thinking, you know, what do you want? You know, I just kind of seeking him. And the thing that really dropped in my spirit was fast February and spend the month fasting from something, you know, and spending some time in his presence. And, you know, you can even fast 1 week, one thing, and fast a week, another thing or something. But this month, we're going to dedicate it as a period to fast and seek the face of God. I was talking to Dad last night. I said, you know, when the enemy brought an onslaught of sickness against his church, you know, he only attacks people who threaten him. We are threatening him. Amen. We are threatening him. But I believe we're going to take Bell County for Jesus. And I believe we're going to take our tri-state area for Jesus. But I want us to understand how great is our God and who is on our side. There's more for us than against us, I promise you. I promise you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I've got two verses of scripture I want to read. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Psalm. I'm going to read chapter number 34, verse 7. And then we're going to read chapter 103, verse 20. Psalm 34 and 7, and then chapter 103, verse 20. I want to take a few moments and dig deep into this. God's given me, an awesome word to share with you. It's something that I don't know if I've ever preached on. If I have, it's probably been once or twice. And, you know, I've been preaching since I was 9 years old. So I've been preaching for about 15 or 16 years. And this is something I don't know if I've ever preached on. I like tapping into things that are new and things that we can apply and grow on. Because no matter where you are, you know, you can always get something more. Amen. There's always something deeper to apply to our spiritual walk with God. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7. I want to read that verse of scripture and then chapter 103, verse 20. Amen. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Let me read that one more time. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Psalm chapter 103, verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you for the weighty presence of your anointing and glory. For in your presence, there is fullness of joy. God, hide me behind the cross, clothe me with humility, saturate me with your anointing, anoint these lips of clay that will not speak on the enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, in demonstration of your love, power, spirit, and anointing, God, let victory come in this house for everyone who needs it. They will sound your praises. They will worship you in spirit and in truth because, God, you are worthy. We glorify you, God. Let us get this revelation in our spirit. Let it elevate our prayer life. Let it help us grow in your anointing and have your way in this place. We thank you and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says amen. 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 Today I want to talk about the subject of angels or demons, who is on your side. Angels or demons, who is on your side? We're going to talk about, if I were to say it, the doctrine of angels today. I believe angels is not some mystical creature. These are real creatures, the real creation of God. I believe we need to understand their purpose and their mission in our life. Fact of the matter is the word angel or angels itself appears a total of 284 times in the King James Version Bible. This tells me something. They have purpose, they have meaning, and we need to know it. We need to understand it, and we need to apply it to our prayer life. Amen. And demons, they also exist. These are not mystical creatures. These are not little creatures running around with two horns and a pitchfork in their hand and a pointy tail. Amen. It's a lot bigger than that. Amen. I believe that there are works in the spirit realm of good works and evil works. I believe there are angels and I believe there are demons. But I believe if we allow the angels of the Lord to work on our side, we'll walk in greater victory. We'll walk in a greater authority. We'll walk in greater power. Can anybody say amen? Amen. They serve God, they attend to us, angels do, as much as they attend to God. Why? Because we are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are created in the image of God. We are created to look like God, walk like God, talk like God, be like God. We are created in the image of God. We are God's ambassadors here on earth. Therefore, I believe angels take hold, amen, as the scripture said in Psalm 103 and 20, that they hearken unto the word of the Lord. What does that mean? That means when we speak the word of God, there's an angelic force behind that word. Amen. They hearken unto the word. When you declare over your family that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you declare that if God be for me, who or what can ever stand against me? When you start speaking the word, there's something behind it. It is greater than yourself. You're not regurgitating someone else's message or revelation. There's a power. There's a force. There's heaven. Heaven is behind you. When you worship God, when you fear God, he said his angels encamp around about you. This is going to get deep. Stick with me. Hallelujah. Angels can be grouped into three categories. There are worshipers, there's messengers, and there's warriors. Angels can be grouped into three categories: worshipers, messengers, or warriors. Get that. Okay. Because what we read in scripture in the Bible between the Old and New Testament, we read about three archangels. The word archangels means chief angels. It means these are angels over these certain groups and entities. Okay. You had Lucifer. He was over the worship. You had Gabriel. He was the messenger. Then you have Michael, who is the warrior. Amen. I want to talk about for just a minute, I may have talked about it here before in messages past, but Lucifer's beginning. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. I'll give you a minute to put it on the screen if you can get it. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. This is very important. It talks about Lucifer. Ezekiel gets a revelation of who Lucifer is. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. I want to read these verses. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," verse 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus," who is Satan or Lucifer, "and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." Now listen to this. He was in the garden of Eden because that was paradise on earth. That was heaven on earth. God gave Lucifer authority on earth. Amen. These are the jewels. This is also important. I'll get into it in just a minute. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. This means that he could sing. He could play music. He could worship. He was over the choir of angels that worship God. The word says in verse number 14, "You are the anointed cherub that covers. I've set you so." Amen. God, how many know God is in control and God puts people in positions? Amen. "I've set you so that you are upon the holy mountain of God. You've walked in up and down in the mountain of God, and I will destroy you." Oh, hold on just a second. I skipped some verses. Let me go back. Go back to verse 14. "The anointed chair of the covenant, I have set you so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. You've walked up and down in the midst of stone of fire." Verse 15. "That was perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was founded in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, but thy sin. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You've corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquity, by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you. I will bring you to ashes upon the earth. How many know the devil's defeated? Yes. In the sight of all men that behold you, verse 19, and they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you and shall be a terror, and thou shall not be any more. Let me break this down for you. Lucifer's name means angel of light. Okay, at the beginning he was created beautiful. God creates beautiful things. God is a beautiful God. He creates everything perfect. But Lucifer chose to rebel against God. Now today he is known as Satan, which means the arch enemy of that which is good. He's anything opposite of good. He brings evil. But he was the praise and worshiper of heaven. He worshiped God in heaven, but he became prideful in his wisdom and in his beauty. Listen, God made you just as you are. Amen. He created you perfect. He created you beautiful, but sin wants to bring a curse upon our life. But if we choose to live for him, our lives can be a fragrance of worship to him, and we don't have to be prideful and arrogant like Lucifer. Amen. Jesus said this, I beheld Satan as lightning that fell from heaven, as quick as pride, the thought of pride. Oh, look how great I can sing. I bring in the presence. I do this. I do that. The moment it became all about him, a self-promoting ministry, he fell, and great was his fall. May we always stay humble. May we always worship with the right spirit to know who God is. I don't care how great you can play music, sing, or preach. It's all for the glory of God. Amen. The moment you let pride creep in, you'll fall just like Lucifer fell. But you've got to stay humble and praying, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You with me, church? Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nation? For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, Satan did not have to do some public display of rebellion. He thought it in his heart. My God, have mercy. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And he said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell and to the sides of the pit. God is a great and a mighty God. We don't need to make ourselves as God. He is God all by himself. There is none like him in all the earth. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the king of the universe. We do not need to allow any thought of pride and arrogance come into our mind, because we're created in his image. It's all about him. Amen. Bible said in Ezekiel 28 that he sinned through much trafficking. The word trafficking means slandering or gossip. Amen. Because he slandered to the other angels of heaven against God. That's why in Revelation chapter 12 verse 4, the Bible says 1/3 of the stars followed him. Because 1/3 of the angels followed Lucifer in his rebellion against God. Hallelujah. Against in his pride and arrogancy and his slandering, they followed him. Amen. And so when he fell in between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and verse 2, when he fell, the Bible says darkness came upon the world. Darkness, the earth that God had created for Lucifer, that he was in the Garden of Eden, this place that he had given him, earth. Now darkness was upon this earth. It was in that moment that he said, let there be light. No matter how dark it is, when the light comes on, darkness has to evade. Do you hear me? God is greater than Satan. God is greater than every work of darkness. God is greater than every principality and power. God is greater than every work of darkness and sin, because he is the king of the universe. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. We serve a great and a mighty God. You have nothing to be afraid of when the enemy comes against your family, when he comes against your children. You have nothing to be afraid of, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you believe it, give God a good shout of praise. Come on, praise him. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than addiction. He's greater than poverty. Woo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the glory of God. Now, the jewels that was mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 28, this is very interesting. Because if you study in the book of Exodus, I hope you get something from this today, you'll find that a jewel represented a specific tribe of Israel. It was on the breastplate of the high priest. He had four rows, of three stones. Each stone represented the tribe of Israel, so that when he went into the presence of God, he carried the people of Israel on his heart. Amen. See, Lucifer was equivalent, if you will, to the high priest. But the thing you've got to understand is this. There were three jewels that are missing in Ezekiel 28. You ever studied on this? There's three stones that are missing. Number one is Legur. It represents the tribe of Gad. Agate represents the tribe of Asher. Amethyst represents the tribe of Issachar. What does that mean? Again, Lucifer walked among nine stones. The high priest had 12. He was missing these stones because this is what it reflects. The tribe of Gad. Gad's name means to overcome. Agate represents Asher, whose name means prosperity, happiness. Amethyst represents the tribe of Issachar. His name means he will bring a reward. So to say this is what this means. Satan will not overcome. He will not prosper. He will not have a good reward. Do you hear me, church? It's already prophetically inserted, and he is defeated. I said he is defeated. We're on the winning side. You know why you can go against hell and the enemy? Because God is great with you. When you serve God and you walk with God and you've got an angelic army surrounding you, you don't have to be afraid. You can go against principalities. You can go against powers. You can go against the spirit of religion, addiction, and poverty that has a stronghold over Bell County. You can go against that because God is with us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bible said that Lucifer was an anointed cherub. Hallelujah, an anointed cherub. A lot of times in scripture you read about where cherubs were worshiping God. Ezekiel 10, he saw the cherubs in heaven worshiping God. Isaiah 37 and 16, the Bible says that God is seen in between the cherubs. Hallelujah. Psalm 99 and 1 declares, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims, let the earth be removed. That is why the Ark of the Covenant, that when Moses, because he patterned the tabernacle after what he saw in heaven. Moses wanted to bring heaven to earth. Oh, God, have mercy. Exodus 25 and 19 teaches that when they designed the mercy seat, he put two cherubs on the lid of the mercy seat. So on the Day of the Atonement, when the high priest would only go on that one day to fast and to stand in the gap for the nation of Israel, and he took off all them priestly garments, and it was just his linen garments, and he went and he made a bloody sacrifice upon the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the throne of God, surrounded by his angels. And when he began to shed that blood, a light would come into the Holy of Holies, amen, and would shine in the midst of the darkness. Therefore, God would be the light of that room. I said God would be the light of that room. Yes. My Lord. See, boy, this is what I want you to understand. When you begin to praise and worship God, it draws His presence. Amen. See, the angels are already surrounding His throne, crying out to Him, worshiping Him. Amen. They're preparing the atmosphere. Listen, when we worship God, that draws His angels. Pastor talks about a new sound. There's an angelic voice behind our sound. There's an angelic voice behind our music. There's an angelic voice behind our message and our worship. Why? Because we're bringing heaven to earth. Because the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. We build God a throne with our praise. His angels come in and they harmonize in worship. Amen. That's why in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says that Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up something. Your flesh has to die in order for the glory to come to you. Hear me. And when He comes, woo, He said the seraphim are surrounding Him saying, holy, holy, holy. I'm about to run. It's the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. When we start crying out, holy is the Lord, I believe God shows up. I said, I believe He shows up. Come on, give God some praise. Give Him praise. Holy are You, Lord. Woo. Holy are You, Lord. Glory to God. Somebody needs to just stand to your feet and take about 30, 60 seconds to give Him some praise and worship Him. We just need a little praise break. We just need to take just a moment and thank Him that heaven's coming down to earth. We just need to thank Him that the angels of the Lord are encamped around these mountains. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We honor You. We glorify Your name. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, church. Magnify Him. He inhabits the praises of His people. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. I thank You, Lord, that the devil is defeated. And then we have victory. And then we have overcome. Lord, let Your train fill this temple every day and every night. Woo. Glory to the Lamb of God. Come on, give Him one more hand clap. Honor Him. That's a noise the devil can't make. Flesh on flesh. Woo! Come on. Let a Shabaka praise. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, worthy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Woo! Glory. When Isaiah saw this vision and he saw God's train, God's robe fill the temple that he was walking in the midst, he said, Lord, I'm unclean. You know what one of them seraphim did? They took a live coal of fire and they got it and put it on his tongue, because Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And in that moment of worship, he was purged of every sin and of every iniquity. And that's when God said, I'm looking for a man. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Hallelujah. You may come in here and say, man, God, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. But you know what? In His presence, He'll make you worthy. You just say, you just need to say, Lord, send an angel by my way today. Purge me of all these evil words of complaining, of gossip, of murmuring, of negativity, of depression. God, I speak Your praises. I speak Your worship. God, if You're looking for a vessel, use me. If you're looking for somebody to get into the prison, use me. If you're looking for somebody to lead revival in this school, use me. If you're looking for somebody in the hospitals and nursing homes, God, here am I. Use me. Woo. Glory. Is this all right? Oh, hallelujah. May be seated. Hallelujah. Thank God for His presence. His glory's here. The angels know how to worship and praise God. When Jesus was came on the scene, you know that there was a vision in heaven. The shepherds were abiding in their field, and they seen the angels saying glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill toward men. Bible says in Hebrews 1, 6 and 7, it teaches that at the first begotten of Jesus, when he was born, the angels worshiped God. They gave him praise. You know, heaven rejoices. You know, there's a worship going on in heaven. If you can't worship down here, you might as well not try to go to heaven, because that's all it's going to be, is worship and praise. Amen. You're just preparing for eternity when you worship here. You're preparing for eternity when you praise God here. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Luke 15 and 10 that the angels of heaven rejoice, celebrate, praise over one sinner that repents. Then over 99 people who are already saved. There's a lot of rejoicing in heaven. Revelation chapter 5 verses 11 through 12 teaches that the voices of the many angels around about the throne. I can only imagine the many angels surrounding that throne, worshiping him. The number being thousands upon thousands upon thousands. More than we can number in ourselves, saying, worthy is the Lamb who's worthy to receive wisdom, power, honor, glory and blessing. Revelation 7, 11 through 12 teaches that the angels of heaven stand round about the throne and the elders and the four beasts worshiping God. They fell down on their faces and worship God. Hallelujah. Listen, when you worship God, I believe angels go on your behalf. Amen. I believe they do. Amen. But listen very carefully. We got to give them an assignment to do. We got to give them a work to do. I believe some people, if they looked at their angels, do you believe in guardian angels? I do. Matthew 18 and 10 says that. He says, the angels of these little ones are always before my face. Ooh. You didn't understand how you made it through it? I believe there was an angel. Woo! There's an angel. He said, their angels are always before my face. Glory to God. He will guard you. He will watch you. He will protect you. Angels are not to be worshipped, but we are to give them assignments to do. When we pray, we need to say, Lord, send forth your angels to keep charge over me and all of my ways. Lord, let your angels encamp around about my family as they're gone to work, as they're gone to school. I declare, God, that you will surround them with a mighty force and power. Yes. Mm. Is this okay? Yes. Second group, Gabriel leads the messengers of angels. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says Gabriel was commanded by God to give Daniel an understanding of the end times, an understanding of the empires that would come up on the scene. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, Gabriel came to Daniel again to give him an understanding of the 70 prophetic weeks that we read about in Scripture. We are currently on the 69th week. We are just waiting for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist to his father Zacharias and the birth of Jesus to his mother Mary. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel. There's going to be a messenger. Gabriel going to blow his trumpet. Who's going to say, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Hey, listen, Jesus can come back at any moment for his church. And we better, and this needs to be a message we speak now more than ever, because it's truly the time of the end. And we need to be watching and we need to be praying. We need to sound the alarm and declare his word in this generation. Even so, come quickly. Lord Jesus, if you're not ready, get ready, church. He's coming. He's coming. These angels, the messengers, help to provide wisdom and understanding and discernment when we need it the most. One of the Hebrew words for angel is malak, which means to dispatch as a deputy messenger specifically to God. Amen. See, this is what you got to understand. They're on dispatch. If you call the police force, you'll get the dispatch. Say, hey, I'm getting robbed right now. I need some help. You know what the dispatch is going to do? They're going to call the nearest cop to you and say, hey, get there to them at this address, at this location. So-and-so needs you. Amen. That's what our angels, they're on dispatch for us. Okay, God, I'm in a need right now. Oh, I'm going to just send an angel by. You ever heard that song? Oh, King Jesus, I know you hear me when I pray. Hey, listen, I might be young, but that's my background right there. King Jesus, I know you hear me when I pray. Lord, I'm down here in trouble. Send an angel by my way. Some of you just need to say, Lord, send an angel by my way. I'm having a rough time, but send me a message. Send me a word. Minister to my spirit. Send an angel. I'm weak in body. I'm weak in mind. God, send an angel, and they're on dispatch. They're going to help you. Amen. An angel visited Gideon to commission him to lead an army of 300 men against an army of 135,000 Midianites. An angel came to Manoah and his wife to speak concerning their son Samson. After Elijah had called fire down from heaven and Jezebel threatened his life, and he was there, and an angel visited him, cooked him a meal, and he went on the strength of that meal for the next 40 days and nights. Do you hear me? Angels visited and gave Zechariah several revelations to his word in Zechariah chapters 1 through 6. An angel visited Joseph twice, to warning him, don't you divorce Mary, because in her is that promised seed. Do you hear me today? Hallelujah. An angel ministered to Jesus after being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Two angels was at the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. One rolled away the stone. When both the Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, came into the tomb, there was an angel on one end of the slab, and there was one cherub at the end of the slab, and there was another cherub. Some of you may be already getting this. And another cherub at the end of the other slab, and there was some bloody garments in the middle. He said, listen, he's not here. He's risen. Do you hear me today? Woo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And an angel announced the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds nearby. Amen. Jesus told his disciples that they would see the same vision that Jacob saw. Angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Cornelius, the Italian centurion, was warned by God from an angel to seek after Peter. And the Holy and the Gentile people would be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Do you hear me? Amen. During the tribulation period, an angel was sent to minister to the entire world to fear God and to not take the mark. Amen. The seven angels that carried the seven vials of God's judgment showed John the beauty of heaven. They gave him the message of the beauty and the glory of heaven. An angel was sent by Jesus Christ to give John, the beloved, the entire book of Revelation. Do you not understand? The message came from messengers on dispatch for us. Listen, if you need a word and if you need a revelation, you need to ask God, send me an angel. I need a word. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 8 verses 3 and 4 teaches, hallelujah, that in the heaven that the angel carries the prayers of the saints into the inner court, into the altar of incense. That's why David said in Psalm 141 and 2, then let our prayers go as incense. Do you not understand? Angels carry your prayers. Ooh, God Almighty. A lot of word going out here. Angels carry your prayers into the tabernacle of God. Carries your prayers. When you feel like no one's listening and you feel like no one's there, listen to me. They carry your prayers to the altar of incense, and it's a sweet aroma to God. See, this is what you got to understand. When Daniel, he fasted for 21 days because God was trying to give him a revelation of the vision he had, and he couldn't get it. He fasted for 21 days. Then an angel came by and began to speak to Daniel and said, Daniel, God heard you the first time you prayed. He said, but there was a prince of Persia, a principality of darkness and evil that rose up to resist the word that I had to give you. And he said, but when you begin to pray and fast, he said, Michael, the archangel came by and helped me to overcome this principality. And now I've come to give you a revelation of that word. What does that mean? God heard you pray that prayer the first time. He heard you, but there's an angel trying to get to you with the word. But there's some resistance in the spirit realm that's trying to fight God, giving you that revelation, giving you that calling, giving you that word. But through praying and fasting and seeking the face of God, you give heaven a stronger force that you can get the revelation that you need from God. Hallelujah. So when you feel like God's a million miles away, God doesn't hear you, God ain't answering your prayers, God ain't speaking to you, fast and pray. Turn the plate aside. Ask God, Lord, just give me a revelation of who you are. Just let me know who you are. Give me an understanding of this vision for my life. Let me know my purpose. Give me an answer. And in due time, God will give you exactly what you need. But you need to pray, God, send an angel. By my way, about to close this thing out. Last angel, Michael, that I just mentioned. Michael and the warring angels, if you will. Do you know angels fight in war on our behalf? Amen. That's why they were warring to try to give Daniel this revelation. I believe angels are fighting for us. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible speaks of Michael being over the children of God's people. And listen, we've been engrafted into this thing as Gentiles. I believe Michael will fight for us too, don't you? Amen. Because he said the children of your people. Amen. Michael stands for you. I believe Michael does stand for the nation of Israel today. That's why you don't mess with Israel. So don't mess, you hear me? Don't mess with the nation of Israel, government of the world. Amen. Don't mess with it. Because there's a greater force in you fighting for them. And that force is on our side too. Daniel 10 and 13, as I'd already mentioned, he was fasting 21 days and then Michael came and overcame that thing, that principality. Jude chapter 1 verse 9 says, yet Michael the archangel was contending with the devil. He was fighting with Satan, hey, disputing over the body of Moses because God wanted to bury the body of Moses. No doubt Moses was to be used on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was going to be seen. He needed his spirit. He needed his body. But you know something? Satan said, I'm not going to let you have it. I'm not going to let you have it. But Michael warred and overcame him. Amen. That's a deeper discussion than what we can get into. But fought for him and he overcame and won. Revelation chapter 12 verses 7 through 11. The Bible says, and this is book of Revelation. I know that we can't get into this. But the Bible teaches that after the 144,000 Jews are raptured to heaven. And let me break this down for you in case you don't understand what that means. There's coming a time in the future when Elijah will come back into this planet. The Jews, even Muslims and Christians all believe Elijah's going to come. They all do. But this is the thing. When he comes to the Jewish people, according to the Jewish culture, Elijah will have such wisdom that he will be able to tell each Jew what tribe they're from. It's according to the Jewish culture. That's why he's going to be able to say 12,000, you belong to this tribe and this tribe. I mean, he's been in the presence of God for thousands of years. I believe he's going to know a lot of stuff. Amen. So here we go. They're caught up to heaven after Elijah and the other witnesses died and resurrected. They're going to try, the 144,000 is caught up and raptured to heaven. But the Bible says Lucifer and his angels are going to come to try to get them from heaven's grip. But the Bible says Michael and his angels are going to war against him and he's going to be cast right back down to earth. Hallelujah. Do you get what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what it is. God's going to overcome. God's going to win. If we're on his side, if the angels of the Lord are on our side, we're going to win. Yes. We're going to win. Amen. Some verses of scripture where angels went to fight. Two angels who visited Abraham concerning his seed. And Abraham interceded to them to protect Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah. And these two angels destroyed and wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah while Lot and his family, except for his wife, was rescued because she disobeyed the commandment of God. Amen. Angels went before the seed of Abraham to protect and war for them, to help them escape Egypt and enter into the promise. And you found various scriptures where angels went before God's people. I believe an angel can go before you. Miss that car accident. Miss that bad report. Miss it all because there's an angel before you. Somebody need to pray, God, send an angel before me. Send your angels around me. Amen. An angel was sent by God to destroy Jerusalem, but God turned away his wrath because David had sinned, but David David had chose to repent. Elisha prayed that God would open his servant's eyes. They were surrounded by the Assyrian army. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said to his servant, because his servant was worried, he was afraid. He said, Lord, Elisha said, Lord, open my servant's eyes. And when his servant's eyes were open, he looked, and all across those mountains was the chariots of fire. Oh, may we pray, God, send the chariots of fire around these Appalachian mountains. The same angels. Hallelujah. And you know something? They got victory. Elisha and his servant took a whole army captive by themselves because he spoke the word and said, Lord, strike them with blindness. And they were all blinded, and then he led them all captive. He spoke the word, and the angels, that entire army, got behind his word. Oh, God, have mercy. I hope you, oh, Lord, have mercy. I hope y'all getting this. Hezekiah's day, there was a remnant of God's people there, and a king of Assyria tried to wipe them out. But one angel killed 185,000 in the camp of Assyria at one time. One angel. One angel. They're powerful. After King Nebuchadnezzar had thrown the three Hebrew children in the fire, he looked down there and said, did we not cast three men down there? They said, yes. He said, lo, I see four men loose. They fell down bound, but now they're free, and there's an extra one in there. Amen. You know why? Because you can fall down bound to stuff, but when an angel comes by, God can set you free. Amen. And then in the midst of the fire of trial, instead of being bound and burdened and getting kindled in the flame, you can praise God and worship him and celebrate him because his angels wore and protect us. Daniel, when he was thrown in the den of lions, when the king came back to the den, he was going to check on Daniel. And he said, don't worry, it's okay. An angel's come by my way and shut the mouths of these lions. And when his enemies was thrown into that same den, they were ate up before they even touched the ground. You can make it through things that other people can't make it because God is on your side. After praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and his sweat becoming drops of blood, an angel came by and strengthened Jesus. An angel of the Lord came by and set the apostles free from prison in Acts 5:19. After James, the brother of John, was beheaded, they had Peter thrown in prison. He was bound to soldiers. There were 16 soldiers surrounding him, but an angel came by in the middle of the night, set him free, and they walked out of that prison. There's an angel that can come by your way today and set you free from every bondage of depression, addiction. Amen. Hallelujah. King Herod, shortly after, had exalted himself as some great one, as being like God. An angel came by and destroyed him, killed him in just a moment. Amen. An angel's witness one's conversion, and at the point of one's death, they carried the believer into the glory of heaven. That's why when Lazarus died, that poor beggar man died, the Bible says the angels carried him into paradise. I believe when you are a believer, angels will come to meet you. They're going to come meet you. Glory to God. When Jessica's papa passed away a couple years ago, I was in that room when he died. I'd never been in the room with somebody the moment that they passed, but it was the sweetest moment. Because as she held his hand and said, God, I praise you, as he was dying. And Jessica was very, 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 very close to her papa. But as he was dying and she was praising God and holding his hand, saying, God, I thank you and I praise you. I felt angels in the room. I said, they're here. They're here. The day before he died, we loved him so dear. The day before he died, he said, I'm going to die tomorrow. He was planning on going home the next day, and he went to heaven, and the angels came by, and you could feel the angels in the room, that there was a peace. We were heartbroken, but there was a peace. You can have peace in the midst of the hardest times when angels of God are around you. God have mercy. Hallelujah. Michael and his angels will fight against Satan, as I mentioned earlier. The seven trumpet judgments of Revelation chapter 8 through 16. Angels, amen, will pour out the wrath of God upon the world in the period of tribulation. Angels are being sent by God to bring the Jewish people back to their homeland. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture says. Angels will be sent to the four corners of the earth. Matthew 24, 31. Angels will come with Jesus to execute judgment on the ungodly and defend the nation of Israel at the second coming. An angel will put a great chain around Satan, that old serpent, and throw him into a bottomless pit where he'll be bound for 1,000 years. Revelation 21 through 3. What are you saying, Justin? We win. We overcome. We're not defeated. He's an angel. We'll bind Satan up. Fact of the matter is, we can bind him up right now with the words we speak, because the angels hearken to the word of the Lord. Angels encamp around about those who fear the Lord and are called to his purpose. David prayed and said, let them, speaking of his enemies, be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their ways be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. What is he saying? He's saying, against my enemies, let the angels come against them. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but it is the devil. It is Satan. It is our adversary. Amen. But we have victory. Fact of the matter is, Jesus even said this. He said, I have a mission to die on the cross, but if I wanted to right now, I could call for 12 legions of angels. Yes. Legion makes up 6,000. He could call for 72,000 angels to come and rescue him, bring him to heaven, bring judgment upon the world, end of story, blah, blah, blah. That's it. But you know something? Jesus said, I have compassion on mankind. I have compassion. I'm going to suffer, and I am going to die, but I am going to resurrect in power. And, oh, glory to God, because it was prophesied in Genesis 3, you'll bruise his heel, but he is going to bruise your head. And on Golgotha's heel, the heel of the skull, the devil's head was bruised as Jesus took the keys of death and hell. Do you hear me? There's power in God. I want to ask those who's going to play and sing to go ahead and come. And we'll close this thing out. Amen. Give you a chance to pray as they come to the music and to the singing. Held you longer than expected. I'm sorry. Apologize. But I have to go and tell you something. We need to get this revelation in our spirit of the purpose and the meaning of angels. We need to pray, God, send forth your angels. Send a messenger to that lost son or daughter to convict their heart right now. Lord, send an angel by your Holy Spirit. Send a word. Send a word. Send a word. They can war for you. They can deliver messages for you. Amen. And they can harmonize with you as you worship God. Worship is what draws his presence. It's what draws angelic hosts to begin with. When you walk with God, God's going to walk with you. But who's on your side today? Are demons on your side? I wouldn't want no devil on my side. He's defeated. When he's around me, all I'm going to do is feel defeated. I'm going to feel defeated when he's around me. Hallelujah. I'm going to just feel defeated. But you know what? I can have victory, help, hope, and peace in Jesus today. Hallelujah. The Bible says in James 2:19, the devils believe in one God and they tremble. They tremble at the name of Jesus. Is there a devil fighting your mind? Is there a devil fighting your body, your spirit? It's time to call on God. It's time to call on his angels. You know, demons, they want to control. They want to dictate. They want to burden. They want to hurt. They want to persecute. Jesus said the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your celebration. He wants to kill your calling. He wants to destroy your destiny. But you know what? Jesus said, I've come to give you life. He's come to give you life today. Let's stand all across this building today. Give you a chance, give you just a moment to pray. Because I believe it'll do us some good. What are you fighting? What are you wrestling? What are you going through today? God can send an angel by your way today to strengthen you and help you to overcome. If you need an angel of the Lord to come by your way today, a battle you're going through, things fighting your mind and spirit, if that's you, you need an angel to come out, give you a word today. It's time to seek his face. Would you come to this altar and pray? If that's you, saved or unsaved, you may be going to church a long time, but maybe your first time at church here, but you know what? God can still help you and set you free, but you've got to call on him and believe on him. Let's find a place and pray. If you want to pray standing, if you want to pray sitting, if you want to pray kneeling at this altar, if you need some angels to come out your way today, let's seek the face of God. Let's speak the word. Let's speak the word. Hallelujah, God. Let's all find a place and pray.
mind.